Hello and welcome to another edition of Through the Turnstiles podcast as we take an in-depth look at the lower leagues of Scottish football. Joined as always by Muzz and James. How are you both?
Glad, right?
Not bad, thanks.
Well, you're back, so you must be doing not too bad, to be fair. Like I say, welcome back to this Championship edition. As we did previously, we've gone back to the three shorter episodes, one for the Championship, one for League One and one for League Two. This episode, we're taking a look at the upcoming fixtures for the Championship for this weekend. If you haven't already, we've been getting good reviews from people in the game and just kind of supporters of the Stuart Brown interview that went out last week, where he talks about the kind of pandemic, how it's impacted his club and other lower league clubs, but also some good detail there that's definitely interesting to clubs of all levels, even if let's say it's Championship or Premiership clubs whose season's still ongoing. So you should definitely go and check that out if you've not seen that. You can find that on Spotify, Apple Podcasts or YouTube just by searching Through the Turnstiles. If you're watching this episode on YouTube, if you could do us a massive favour and like the video and subscribe to the channel, that would help us massively. And before we get into the previews, we're just going to drift over to Muzz for our journeyman spot of the week. Before you give us it, Muzz, how did you find the Stuart Brown interview, kind of looking back on it after we did it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I think what stuck out for me was Stuart's honesty, really, about the whole situation. It was quite refreshing. You know, how he almost was really aware that football came second. He was honest enough to admit that, you know, he questioned whether football should be going ahead in the first place, almost, or at least put that out for the debate instead of just trying to look after his own. And it was really good to hear that all the lower league clubs had come together and agreed in a kind of unified decision as well that was put to the government and the SFA. So really, really informative, really good for getting your kind of finger in the pulse and finding out exactly where clubs are, where they stand at the moment.
There's definitely, and I think James, just before we come back to us for the journeyman spot, I saw a stat that came out just this week. Unfortunately, it was after an interview with Stuart, so we couldn't speak to him about it. But I think the clubs did a survey of the players at their various clubs. This is League One and League Two, because obviously the conception is that the part-time players will be out working, therefore they've got more chance of kind of picking up anything and then bringing it to a game, etc. But I think less than 40% of lower league players are actually out working. They're either working from home, they're either students, or they're either on furlough. So that kind of makes that argument a bit irrelevant, doesn't it?
And there's always the assumption that it's the players that are going to go and do something, and it's not the clubs that are doing things incorrectly. So it's that sort of player agency. And we said the same thing about the part-time teams in the Championship, but we're also presuming that anytime I've gone into my work, there's still strict protocols that I need to follow. I don't just get to rock up and get about my everyday life. So there's no reason to assume that any players that are still working aren't following those protocols at work and then going to training and football games and following the same protocols. So there's maybe slightly more chance than if they're just sitting at home all the time. But at the same time, how many full-time players have got partners that go out and work? Or, you know, it's the same situation. But I thought what Muzz was saying was correct as well, in that you're looking at the honesty that Stuart spoke with. I think a lot of the time it's the managers that get the focus to speak for their club. But actually, the managers can't always speak for the club. It's the chairman that needs to step up and say, actually, here's what we're thinking. He mentioned summer football. The problem with that is pitch maintenance, but I've never heard that argument before, because it's always the managers that get asked and the managers come at it in a different way. See Steven Gerrard just now having to defend these Rangers players that have been at a party. Actually, he can't inflict that much punishment on them. He can't decide from a club standpoint what happens. That's the chairman. So I think it gives you a chance to see behind the scenes and see what the chairman's actually doing, because managers come and go, but Stuart Brown and his colleagues will be in that position sort of long term. It's a different aspect to consider.
That's a good point, actually. And thank you again to Stuart for coming on and taking the time. And like I say, if you've not checked that one out, then do so. So after that serious moment, we'll move to something more lighthearted. Muzz, journeyman spots of the week. Let's hear it.
I guess where we're going again this week?
We're going to be in Greenock or Ayr, I'm guessing.
Inverness.
The latter, not that latter, the middle one, Ayr. Sunday, where are we? Yeah, Air 23 has contributed this beauty.
If you do have any other journeyman spots this week, the only way to ensure we'll see them is via Twitter or the comment section of this video. Sorry, Matt.
No. Air 23. I was working at the Heads of Air Farm Park when I was a student, probably 2012 or 2013, and Gary Teal and his... Gary Teal and his family, it is funny, Gary Teal and his family wanted a shot in the quad and barrel ride. I was a bit starstruck, mumbled something about how I was a big Air fan, and still charged him the £1.20 each. I like it how there's no discount there for Gary or family by the looks of it. Each £1.20 each.
To be fair,
for the quad and barrel.
Right? Quad and barrel. Yeah, I'm trying to work out what that is.
What's the
in my head is Gary T on a quad bike with family in the back, but that's almost certainly
in a
not.
Barrel.
What's the name of the place where he was working, Matt?
Heads of Air Farm Park.
Well, what an employee Heads of Air Farm Park had, that he saw his hero but still stuck to the task of claiming one nugget 20 per family member.
Yeah, some may say jobs worth, but I would say that's just loyalty.
Yeah, and the thoroughness of doing their job. To be fair, I really liked that one. So if you want any more journeyman spots of the week, there's different ones in each of the three episodes this week. We didn't have one in the episode of Stuart Brown, but we do have in previous episodes. Like I say, if you've got any of your own, please submit them in the comment section of this on YouTube or Twitter at Tonchdalesthe. Muzz, let's stay in air as they host Inverness on Saturday. Inverness off the back of a disappointing result tonight at home at Queen of the South. Air obviously in a relatively sticky run of one win in the last five games. How do you see that one going at the weekend?
Yeah, two off the boil teams coming head to head there, really. Inverness lacking in match practice and momentum completely. Mm-hmm. So although I touched on last week that they've got these extra games in hand, which I kind of feel like a free shot for them to shoot up the table. But it doesn't mean they can just turn up. Obviously, they've got to actually win these games in hand to make progress back up the table. Air are just kind of treading water, going mm-hmm. from drawing to winning to losing a game, showing no real consistency. It's just heading towards a draw prediction, really, isn't it?
I think Air reminded me, I think it was about a month ago, maybe 6 weeks, you said Morton were just... At the stage, I think Morton were as many points off the top as were off the bottom, and you said they're just kind of like plodding for the season. As you look at Ayr at time of recording, they've won four, they've drawn five, they've lost five, and their goal difference is two. So they're all, like you say, breaking even, treading water. I think that's a better description.
Yeah, they've just... Morton got that bit of rejuvenation, ironically, after the manager left. And I'm not saying Mark cares doing a bad job, or it's not like things are going stale. He's freshened the team up a wee bit in the transfer window. Andre Wright, give him a chance. You know, he's played a couple of games.
They looked all right against Hearts. Terrible penalty decision against them.
Oh, that was a shocker, aye, on Baird. Yeah, we touched on that last week as well. That it's quite clear in the rules, if it comes off another part of your body, then hits the hand. I mean, we'll get to Hearts, but they're riding their luck a wee bit, Hearts, as demonstrated last Friday there.
Yeah.
But in terms of Air Inverness, yeah, it's just a close one for me. A draw, maybe. That is the typical game of the championship for me, where I just cannot predict that. The odds will be kind of like the same. Yeah, they'll be... Yeah, draw 6-4 as well. You know, it's just anything could happen in that game.
I was going to come into this with a fresh approach. We've not done previous for a while. I was thinking the predictions, right, this is it. Let's just start nailing the predictions and kicking on and just really showing that we know what we're talking about. But then I looked at the fixtures, I was like, yeah, you know, so I've got no idea what's going to happen. You're potentially going to that one, Muzz. Are you genuinely expecting to see a decent game, or what are you expecting to see?
I don't know. It's going to be either an 0-0 for me, or it's going to be quite entertaining. Well, I mean, that could be any football game. I'm just going to a game.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's going to be interesting because their bench tonight, Inverness, I'm talking about, obviously, with their game tonight, Roddy McGregor was on the bench, Carson was on the bench, Todorov. So you wonder if any of those three will kind of shoehorn their way back in at the starting 11. But on paper, they're decent, Cali, aren't they, James? Are they just needing to start playing those games and start catching up? Because although they're second bottom of the table just now, they're only 6 points off the playoffs.
Aye, but I when I had a look, because I was considering the fixtures coming up and looking at Inverness, I'm like, actually, it's been 2 weeks since they played, and admittedly, that's a bit of a pain in the arse, but it's not that bad. But then before that, and I've just got the fixture dates up here, it's 27th of January. Before that, you're looking at 29 December, 19 December, 12 December, 4 December, 21 November. And so you're tailing off at like regularity, but that 2 week gap between
before the game tonight, yeah,
Queen of the South is a bit of nothingness that happens every so often for everyone. Like a Premiership team drops out of the cup, maybe they've got a free cup weekend, so whatever. But 27th of January through the 29th of December, that's a minging distance. And even the teams in there, they've from the 19th of December lost to Alloa, drew with Dunfermline, which is a tough game, admittedly, drew with Morton. Drew Arbroath, lost to Queen of the South. They're not performing very well at all. And I at the start of the season was talking about some of the players they had, and we were talking about that strike force, and you mentioned Todorov and Keaton's maybe being good, but also maybe just lacking in certain areas. And there was a while where they sort of hit that peak and were doing okay and put my hands up and went, maybe I've called that wrong. But now we're back into they're not playing together. There's one of them starting the night, Todorov's on the bench. I'm not actually doing very much. So I worry for Inverness, like production-wise, that they're not doing a lot, even when they are playing. And I don't know how much of that is due to having time off, or how much of that is just due to the players on the pitch. Because there's something about match fitness, and maybe not being able to play the full 90, full pace. But you still have to be able to create stuff. That range of passing and things doesn't just disappear because you've not played in 2 weeks. So,
what's your prediction?
Production-wise, I'm a bit concerned. I'm just going to go air just to even out their mediocre season. I think what Muzz will see, hopefully, is some young players from Inverness playing. But I worry that it's not going to be a good game. And I think Inverness might end up in this slump that we touched on last week and that I was a bit worried about. I don't think Ayr's an easy game to go into off the back of Queen of the South, which might have been an easier game to consider a couple of weeks ago. But off the back of a relatively decent couple of results for Queen of the South transfer window, which to be fair now has maybe been impacted by these going on at Rangers, you know, I think it's a tough game to come out the back of Queen of the South and go into this Ayr team. So for me it's an Ayr win, but that's purely down, I think, to Inverness's lack of ability than Ayr's quality all over the pitch.
I'm going to back Ayr as well, actually, in my new routine of getting predictions right. I think that it was the good win against Alloa, didn't they? 4-1 not long ago. They were unlucky against Hearts, as we spoke about, with a penalty. And albeit it was a bit of a disappointing result for them, let's say, against Hearts last time out. But I think they've got enough. I fear a wee bit for Inverness. They're on their own. I just think the back four doesn't fill me with confidence either. I saw Duffy a few times for St Johnstone, was never hugely impressed. Brad Mackay can be rash at times. D's relatively improved in one decent to good season at Alloa, and then Harper at left back's obviously still a young boy himself. Shane Sutherland was goalsy in League Two, but is this maybe a step too far? I'm no doubt other full time teams that did a wee look at him and hadn't quite pulled the trigger on him. So is it asking maybe a wee bit too much of him up top? So I'm going for Ayr United to emerge victorious.
Yeah, Sutherland was probably ain't a chance at another crack at a higher level. I think he's been on Inverness's books before. I might be wrong on that one.
Potentially.
But regardless, I think he'd earned the right to have a crack, but it's maybe just it's not quite fallen for him. He's found it maybe a bit too much of a step up. He's not had a consistent run in the team, let's not forget as well. And he's just shy of 30, so he's not like...
He did play Premier League for Inverness, but that was last in 2013.
So it's not quite worked out so far, but Keatings isn't firing either, as James pointed out, and they're heavily reliant on Todorov for goals at the moment. So it might be more to it than just Shane Sutherland.
Give us your shout then. Give us your prediction.
I'll stick with a draw.
And your boys, your favourite team in the Championship, travel to Arbroath, Wraith Rovers.
Yeah, in form Arbroath, by the way. Not lost in, well, at least the last five games. They'll count themselves pretty unlucky against Arbroath, I think.
Six unbeaten. It was, and their loss before that was away at Hearts.
There you go. Yeah. I think they'll be actually really frustrated that they couldn't hold on against Alloa. That 2 points would have taken them, that extra 2 points, sorry, would have taken them level with Greenock in seventh and Ayr United in sixth, which is considering where they were at the a few weeks ago.
They've got to be gutted, especially with Grant getting sent off. What was it, half an hour to go or something? 25 minutes to go against 10
men? Yeah, they just had to see the game out. And Craigan got sent off. How much that actually affected the goal, I don't know. It was Innes Cameron that notched it late on. But you could have bet on a Jack Hamilton Arbroath win there. I thought that was all going to plan.
That's a wee bet builder on McBookie, isn't it?
Hamilton
to score Arbroath to
Arbroath
to win.
Yeah. They'll see its progress. Alloa will see it as escaping a really dangerous, well, even more dangerous situation than they're in at the moment. A real salvage job from them. But Arbroath march on a wee bit, solid. Any point away from home they'll take, I think, in the league.
And Wraith, the last five, they've won, they've lost, they've won, they've lost, they've won. And interestingly, it looks as though they went to a back three against Morton in that last game. It looked as though they kind of played Musonda, Davidson and Mende, and then they had McDonald and Tumulty wide, Hendry and Spence as a midfield two, and then they almost had Gullen, Ugwu and Armstrong as almost the front three. So do you think that was McGlynn maybe a permanent change of shape, or do you think he's just kind of trying to fit all those attacking players into the bench? Because again, you look at the bench and it's Adam King, Kai Kennedy, Timmy Abraham, Manny Duku.
Aye, exactly. I think he would have, if he wanted to crowbar in all these guys, I think he would have played a four to allow for...
Almost a 4-2-3-1 or something.
Yeah, to allow for an extra body up front. I don't know what the sudden change in...
Morton have dabbled in a three, haven't they? So you wonder if he's maybe tried to match them up, or maybe away at Morton he's felt he's needed three big centre-halves. I don't know.
Maybe he thinks there's going to be the ball's going to be in the air a lot. I don't know. But he has dabbled with a three back in League One quite a lot when they had Anderson, Davidson and Benedictus, and they were really efficient. The back three would play really, really high up, and at times Wraith would have
Davidson notched the winner, didn't he?
Yeah, that's his second goal in, was it the second goal in two games?
Potentially.
I'm talking about the same game.
But
they used to they're used to playing with a back three, and like I say, they would play it really high up. Sometimes Wraith would have 10 men in the opposition third when they pressed really high, and the back three would be wide as well, you know, in possession. So they've not only got strength right throughout that team, Wraith, they're versatile as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got the fluidity within it, because I think Musonda probably played left centre half. He could easily go and play left back if they needed to switch to four and drop Tomlin back in. McDonald could play off the left and stuff. So how do you see that one going, Mars? We've got your prediction. I'm backing a Wraith win. I think they're just, albeit although Arbroath are flying, Wraith have been there, haven't they, over the last couple of seasons when Wraith were in League One. They know what to expect at Arbroath. They've got hardcore players that have kind of been there, done it in League One last season, going to some grounds that maybe aren't what they're used to in the Championship. So I think there's going to be no shocks there for them. You know, Hearts maybe got a shock the first time they went to Arbroath, but as I think, let's say, Wraith players have done it before, so I can't see them getting a surprise. I'm going to go for a Wraith win myself. Muzz, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. If there's going to be any manager who's going to have to be trying to second-guess the opposition, it's going to be Dick Campbell rather than John McGlynn. Mm-hmm. John McGlynn will know pretty much what to expect, and like you say, he's dealt with Arbroath as a force before. Almost very similar team as well. So
yeah, he knows him inside out, doesn't he?
For me, I'm going to agree with you there. Wraith are going to win that.
And if they don't, James, it'll probably be down to one man, Mr. Hamilton. And I know David Martindale had kind of said that Dick Campbell would not stop phoning him. And he almost gave Hamilton out just to get Dick Campbell to get off the phone. But interestingly, he said even next season, he feels that Hamilton might have to go back out on loan, just kind of depending how he does. One of the reasons we spoke about he's gone to Arbroath is they still get him through the day to do the gym sessions, and he trains with Livingston through the day, then goes out on loan. But what bit of business he's looking to be?
Aye, and we said before, we wonder how much we can just keep talking about him and how much teams can just keep relying on him. And I think that's been a great bit of business. It changes, or it offers a change in how Arbroath want to play. He is relatively, I don't know if mobile is a word, but dynamic perhaps is a wee bit better. I wouldn't say he's great going in behind and certainly dropping in areas. I'd say dynamic's maybe a bit better. You're not looking at him crop up sort of unseen and start hounding however many 20-yard balls in behind, but he'll get himself about over whatever distance. So I think he'll be a good bit of business, but I think, similar to like Muzz is saying, I think Wraith have got something that are both necessarily haven't seen that much of before. So for me, I think Arbroath carry that threat at the front in Hamilton, but I worry about your Arsenal-esque back four for Arbroath, because they have come up against in a couple of weeks prior Alloa, who play a certain style of football, Dunfermline, who play slightly different from what Wraith will do, Inverness, who don't really play football on the pitch when they can actually play at all, Morton, who play a stuffy kind. So I think Wraith will offer something that Arbroath maybe aren't overly used to, and it'll offer them a bit more of a complex attacking force. And I think Wraith have got the ability to change up how they play, because you've mentioned that they sort of went to that three at the back, three up front scenario, but they also weren't playing Kai Kennedy, brought him on later. So that offers, again, another dynamic and another sort of facet of their attack that they can decide, aye, we're going to go three at the back and we're going to get three strikers up, or we're going to try and get it wide and we're going to try and get the back four of Arbroath. So I think the Wraith offer just a wee bit too much for Arbroath defensively. I think Arbroath will make chances. We spoke last time about how Campbell's signings have brought new folk in, but maybe also reinvigorated some of the older players that are there, or players who were there before. Bobby Lynn, for example, start creating a wee bit more. So it's not going to be a complete walkover, but I think Wraith's attacking prowess will be something that Arbroath might not be used to based on their last couple of games. So a score win for both teams to score, obviously, wouldn't surprise me. But a Wraith, 3 points.
If I was going, I'd be looking forward to Davo and Jack Hamilton duking it out, to be fair, because Hamilton's got this great habit of, as a defender wins the header, Hamilton just kind of comes over and just jumps into them and just kind of knocks them down. So even if he doesn't win the header, he's, although he's young, he's already mastered the art of leaving a bit in. And I don't think even Davidson will take too kindly to that. So that would be an interesting battle to observe. Muzz, you touched on it a wee bit earlier on in the episode. Hearts, fresh off the back of a fortunate tight game at Queen of South. I don't know if you could say they were fortunate to get a point, but given the number of chances and things he created, but they've got Morton at home on Saturday, and they'll just be delighted to get back to Tynecastle after being at Somerset and then being at Queen of South.
Yeah, I think they'll welcome a home fixture and welcome a chance to kind of correct that really stagnant performance, I thought it was in Dumfries against Queen of the South.
Do you think Andy Halliday's helping or hindering Hearts?
I mean, I was literally about to say, to mention Andy Halliday. I'm struggling to see what he's bringing to that team at the moment.
It's a strange signing, wasn't it? They already had Haren and stuff there. And see, for me, it's a strange signing. He's having to play on the right as well. Obviously, despite him being left-footed, because obviously they want Irvine on the left because he's younger and left-footed as well. But he seems a strange bit of business, doesn't he?
Well, I maybe slightly disagree that it was a strange signing in theory and in practice. I thought the character to have in the dressing room would be a benefit. I thought he would be able to offer something at that level, definitely. It's not to be so far. It's sideways passes. It's not picking up runners. It's things like that. No cutting edge at all.
Is he getting too busy trying to be the hatchet man and kind of he's getting drawn into debates? And you've seen him with Willie Gibson offering to take him outside after the game on Friday night or whatever he'd said to him on camera. It looked like, and obviously players are targeting him a wee bit, maybe kind of leaving a foot in and stuff, but he's got to just ignore that. He's old enough that he's got to just shrug it off.
He should know better. And he's not even, it's petty stuff. He's not. Winning balls and getting stuck in that sense, in a constructive sense, he's not all over the park, really dragging the team with him. He's just if he's getting caught up in those kind of things, it's just petty tit for tat nonsense, really, that you would expect better from one of the more senior players. So I'm not saying I'm only disappointed because I think he had more. And has more to bring.
He's
to
got
the team.
More to offer, doesn't he? He's got good attributes. And the other one I was going to ask you about, without kind of cutting your grass, Stephen A. Smith's in and out, isn't he? But do you think that was because of a plastic pitch on Friday?
It could be. It could be because of just conserving him. Basically, he is at that age and has lost a yard of pace as well. So I can only imagine. Because again, with Naismith, it's not just his abilities, his leadership in the team. It's his. It's his football brain that provides Hearts with kind of an extra dimension. So yeah, I can only put it down to that. Mackay Stephen, again a great signing on paper, but obviously he's lacking fitness by the looks of it. And again, looks like he's lost a yard of pace as well. He's no spring chicken either. I think he's
30,
approaching 30. Mm-hmm. Deserves more of a chance before he gets the usual slaughtering from the Hearts fans. But just all in all, a bit stale, a bit lackluster, struggling to break teams down in the league, especially away from home.
Do you think the players are losing motivation because they're so far ahead?
It's possible.
And struggling to get himself up for it.
Yeah, it's possible. The one man that cuts a frustrated figure in that team is Craig Gordon, because he can see the game in front of him. Mm-hmm. He's picking goals out the back of the net that he really, really feels like he'll have a sense of personal pride about it as well. Mm-hmm. That he'll feel like nobody in this league should be beating him, and he's dealing with some poor defending, or poor marking or runners getting left and things like that. So I think they'll see Morton at home as a perfect opportunity to reinstall their kind of prowess in the league, and a chance to really they'll see a comfortable victory. But obviously Morton are never going to roll over. But in terms of a prediction, I'll let maybe James touch on Morton a wee bit more, because I've waffled on about Hearts a lot here. So
sorry, on you go.
No, carry on.
I actually had a question for James about more kind of Hearts based, but focusing on Morton. Obviously, James, you've seen a lot of Craig Halkett. So what I'd kind of noted to kind of ask you, he's going to be massive on Saturday, isn't it? Given the type of game that Morton are going to play, balls into the box, long throws, very direct. And obviously, he's been playing next to Popescu for the last few games. Do you think Nielsen maybe brings Berra back in for this one to help deal with that more aggressive physical side, the bombardment that Morton will hope to put on top of them?
Aye, it's one of those things I've been thinking about Hearts just while Muzz was going on there, and it's a confusing one, because I think for every Halkett, the problem is Popescu or Berra, and they both bring different things. And then for every Irvine, you've got the problem of who plays next to him, and it's currently Halliday who's got his issues, obviously, and if it's not Halliday, it's Peter Heron, who they obviously seem to want to wrap in bubble wrap and they'll give a consistent run of forms for, or run of games for, to get some form.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think part of the problem is they don't, there's no good pairings being built sort of throughout the pitch where you know what's going on, and I think that can lead to some errors, sort of individual or in certain areas, because you don't know what the other player's going to do. I think Halkett will be quite valuable in there because him and Gordon are relatively experienced despite Halkett's age, sort of defensively, and they both know sort of how to win games and how to see out these sort of these leagues and how to pull teams together basically and how to lead from the back. But I've also got my concerns with Halkett, as I've spoken on many times, in terms of dealing with sort of long balls into the box that aren't necessarily just getting zung in at his head. I think he's got trouble necessarily finding his feet and working out how to win a header that he can't just go and like attack straight on. If it's floating down in his head, I think that's a problem. So we'll see what happens with the long throws. We'll see what happens when he's under pressure and he's not got someone just to go and mash into.
Do you think Levine was a wee bit guilty when he signed Halkett of just looking maybe at his stats or seeing him play for Levy and thinking he'll be a good bit of business? Now, Halkett played in the middle of a back three because, like you said, he's at his best when it's straight balls coming on top of him. He can go and challenge two boys either side of him that can sweep up or are a bit more mobile. But Levine's just took someone that's played in the middle of a back three for, I think it was 2.5 seasons, and parked him into a four. And he instantly looked uncomfortable last season. And he still looks a wee bit uncomfortable in a four this season. So is that Craig Levine's fault? Is that Craig Halkett's fault?
And I think there was an issue injury-wise, if I recall, last season.
I missed a wee bit.
Obviously speak to the extent of it. But in that back three at Livy, he'd obviously won plenty of games. So you go, here's a winner. He's a young talent who's come through at Rangers. So you expect him to go on and do things. And we've spoken before about how actually it's Gallagher that was the biggest loss and who's gone on and extended his career. He's got however many years on Halkett, so you don't see him perhaps as being a player for a club like Hearts. But Gallagher would come over and obviously protect Halkett to an extent, and you want Berra to come and do that. So I think, like you say, Berra's maybe the best option, but I'm also not convinced that Berra's mobile enough that he can do that all the time, because I remember seeing Man City in their first sort of regular title winning season, Vincent Kompany would go over anyone in the back four and just pick them up, move them out of the way and go, I'm going to win this header. And you need someone who's going to go and do that. But Kompany obviously was back in his heyday, where he just had a big magnet head, he'd just stick it on anything. So who's going to offer that protection to Halkett, like you say? Is it going to be Berra who's stumbling his way over? And then who drops in? Is it Andy Halliday who's going to hobble back and cover for Berra, or is Halkett going to sort of come back out? So I think positionally they can get themselves in a bit of bother mobility-wise, try to find their feet and not get all over the shop. I think if they were stronger, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw more of a back three, back five from Hearts. I know they're not looking like that just now, but it's maybe the way I would go to address some of their key areas. Get rid of that Halliday situation, focus play down the wings where they're stronger.
Popescu's decent on the ball, isn't he?
Peter Heron in there, but then you lose out a little bit in midfield and you drop Mackay Stephen. I think formation-wise, they're strong as they are, and by no means are they in any sort of bother Hearts, but it's maybe a headache for Nielsen to work out, actually, how do we address this? Halkett and someone, Irving and someone.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got this sort of three in behind your striker, Boyce and Walker and two others. So, yeah, for me, I think Morton's going to be a chance for them to try and work on these pairings a wee bit more, but I think Morton are going to be up against a tough one anyway. Because Hearts will want to show that it's not just lackluster performances that they can grind out, despite the fact they are grinding out results. To score when they did against Queen of the South shows that they're title, I don't know, winners already, I suppose.
See, if it was me, not necessarily the squad they've got the now, because they haven't obviously built around it. If Al Nielsen, I'd be playing a 3-4-3, three at the back, two wing backs, two sitting at a striker and kind of wide player off either side, almost playing as like a kind of narrow number 10, because kind of what Rangers do with Kent, I think that would suit Walker perfectly. Kai Stevens good enough to play in there, or Naismith, like we spoke about, with his leadership, he could play as a 10. You've got a back three, Park Halkett right in the middle of that back three, like he's done. Popescu's decent on the ball, but he's got a mistake in him, so wide, or as a side centre half, he's got more protection than a free to get the ball in play. Like you said, Kingsley and Smith either side, and maybe even Irvine and Hayden, giving you kind of a wee bit of evident midfield. So for me, I think they're almost a 3-4-3 team, but Nielsen's always been a back four man, like right as far back as I can remember.
It covers what Muzz touched on with Naismith and Mackay Stephen maybe losing a yard of pace, because if you're relying on Smith and Kingsley, who have maybe got a wee bit more legs on them or can offer those attacking threats as well as Mackay Stephen and Naismith, they're only having to do as much forward back. They're able to offer a wee bit more protection, drift into those areas rather than chalking the boots up and down and up and down. So, who are we to say that they should be playing a back 3-5? But definitely, I would.
And an interesting stat, I'm just looking at the Morton results here. So they've 1-0, 1-0, 2-2, 2-1, 0-0, 1-1, 1-1, 2-0, 2-1. So since the 12th of December, in every game they've been in, apart from one, there's only been kind of one goal swing, if that makes sense. It's either been a draw, they've lost by one, they've won by one. So they don't seem to be the type, James, to go to Tiny and get a doing.
It's coming in off the back of those results. I think you're staring down the barrel of a Morton team that will be quite stodgy and quite hard to break down. But I think Hearts will maybe have enough about them to unlock that defence. But it also would say to me as well that Morton aren't necessarily scoring enough goals at the other end of the pitch. They're the lowest scorers in the league, I think, with Arbroath, who are toiling, or certainly were toiling earlier, and are looking maybe to rest that bad form. So Morton need to do the same. They need to get goals scored less goals than even teams like Alloa, who are obviously struggling also.
I think
so. It's not going to be a massive, it's got the potential to not be a massive smash and grab for Hearts, where they're just going to dominate, score loads of goals. I think Hearts will be happy to score at least a goal, but play well. Two goals, play really well, and then just write it off and move on and get back to sort of the form and the style of play that we know they can do.
I think
Muzz thought he'd spoken about Hearts a lot. I feel like I've done them a bit of justice.
I think at Morton, Muzz, the new manager, I think he's kind of focused on keeping the back door shut, isn't he? And then look to build from there, because he's kind of, Hopkins, I think, flicked between that 3 and 4. Looks like Morton have kind of settled in a 4 now, with kind of Blues and Miller sitting in front. It's almost like a back four with two sitters, and that's maybe why they're not scoring a number of goals that they'd like to be, but he's concentrating on building for the back.
Yeah, which I think was the right thing to do when you're facing downwards in the table. I agree with James that I don't think they'll. I think the recent form of both teams is leading me to think that Hearts are going to win, but it will be by a fine margin.
And then the other 2-1. Games then, Muzz, are 2-1. Fish out from here. The other games then are teams in third and fourth playing the teams in fifth, actually. So that's a bit of a playoff battle, isn't it? Dundee against Queen of South, fourth against fifth.
Suddenly, it is a playoff battle. What, I mean, we're talking about Queen of the South. And
I know Dundee have got three games in hand before anyone Dundee-based gives us the nod, but given where Queen and South were.
Yeah, and Queen's now have a couple of games, one or two games on the teams below them, Aaron and Greenock. So, but
are you trying to get the Greenock fans, sorry, the Morton fans riled up tonight?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Morton. It's just one of those things that's in my brain now. I'm going to have to really battle with that for the rest of my life.
I just thought I'd mention it so I don't get the abuse in the comments. It's just you.
It's fine.
I like it. I think it should stick.
It could stick, actually.
By the way, you say Partick, and Thistle fans, as they prefer to be known, get pretty riled up by that as well. So we're not all perfect.
I can't say I've noticed that, actually. So, but thanks for pointing that out now.
No worries.
You've had that on your sleeve for a while, man.
Because I knew I was going to trip up again with Morton. I think if there's going to be a shock somewhere this week, I think it will be at Dens.
Queen of Sifford missing the boy on loan from Rangers, wasn't he? He's got to be isolating, surely.
Aye, so which makes it doubly irresponsible from him, because he's not just let down Rangers, his parent club. He's let down Queen of the South, and he's also jeopardised the players at Queen of the South as well, in a sense. But
the club that took a gamble on him, may have offered him like senior first team football at a decent level, and he just kind of threw it back in their face. I think Dobie will be thinking of having to roll out 290 minutes, although I think he got subbed off in two starts in 4 days. I think Dobie will be delighted with that.
Nah, but I think he'll be glad he's back on the pitch. Mm-hmm. They're going to, you know, well, you thought they were going to suffer without Shields, but that performance against Hearts and the win tonight.
And without Pybus as well. Right?
So far, exactly, so far proven otherwise. And we talked about the lack of depth in their squad, and thank goodness now that they did strengthen in January, because they could.
We did rate them, just didn't we,
cover our... these two players.
If you've not seen the transfer episode, you should go back and we kind of rated each team's transfer window. But we said about Queen of South, didn't we? They'd strengthened each position. They'd signed a goalie, a centre half, a midfielder, and a striker, and they'll be grateful. Although the striker's turned out worse than useless so far, based on his actions. But they'll be delighted they did that, Alan Johnson. Eh?
Yeah, definitely. It was like I just said, it proves vital now, because they're having to dip into the squad to cover these injuries to the key players now, Pybus and Shields, and well, like you say, Mabudo being away now. So,
and Obalai has done similar or the opposite to Senna in League One. He's kind of, Senna's gone from midfield into centre half for Partick Thistle, but Obalai's gone from centre half almost to centre mid for Queen of South, and he's having an impact in there. I was in there again tonight, picked up a yellow, all part of the job in there, and done well in there against Hearts.
I wonder if you're right to have called Buchanan maybe of picking up, having picked up a knock, which is why he was on the bench when Breen's come in, because you wondered why or who was going to get dropped out of that pair defensively. But it seems like Breen and Buchanan are now.
And see, fairly to Alan Johnson, because if he's signed a centre half knowing he was going to push Obalai into midfield, he's done very well. Or you wonder if he's looked at the Hearts game and thought, well, we need another body in here, let's put Obalai in. You know, you wonder if he was going to do that regardless. Do you know what I mean?
Aye, like, has he gambled or actually seen a role in there for him? He certainly brought a lot to that role and seems quite a strong character as well. So he's starting to thrive a bit in that position. And I think the other player worthy of a mention is Isaiah Jones, on loan from Middlesbrough, who has been really on form for them. And I think he was pretty much man of the match against Hearts on Friday night, and is full of energy and offers them something really dangerous on the wing. So they've made some really shrewd signings, and they're starting to look an outfit. Queen of the South, they're meddling in the middle of the table there, albeit, like we say, with a couple of games extra they've played on a few teams. But I think, like I say, going back to the game, Dundee will be happy just to get a game.
They've only played two games since he played Bonnie Regrose.
But I think that respite can be beneficial. It's proved not to be for Inverness. Queen of the South have played, that'll be their third game in 7 days. So I'll cut to my prediction and I'll say a narrow Dundee win. I wouldn't be surprised. I think if there is going to be a shock, it could be there.
Dundee, James, maybe be grateful for that break, like Muzz says, because it lets them bed in, Cummins, McMullen, etc., and kind of show them the way they want to play and really focus on the nitty gritty. And now that, like Muzz says as well, they'll be kind of chomping at the bit to go out and play. But I think the front options now, you know, you're looking at McGowan, So, McMullen, Mullen, and Cummins. Looking decent, and they finally, we spoke about Halkett without going to in-depth here, suiting a back three at Livingston and getting a move and getting put into a back four. Sean Byrne, see, for me at Livy, he's a three. He plays his best in a three because he needs the license to go and like rat high up the pitch, turn possession over, and he's not like a headless chicken, but he likes to go impressible and hunt, and he maybe doesn't always positionally know what's kind of going on behind him. Struggled a bit at Dundee early doors, but since they've gone to that 4-3-3, he's started playing better as well. And see, for me, it's not a coincidence. He's another one that's maybe now getting played in the position that he got signed from, if that makes sense.
I think the Arbroath signing Hamilton has had a knock-on impact on some players playing better. And I think we've seen Byrne benefit from a knock-on impact of Graham Doran's leaving, because we spoke about early doors. Who do you actually play in that midfield? And you play Adam and Dorans and Byrne and a combination of the two or the three. And I think that problem's been solved by the fact that Dorn has been like, I'm off, I'll see you later. I'm away to do something else away from you guys. And what a decision he's made to leave and go and enjoy this ton. But I think you're right, Burn's now performing the way that they want Burn to perform. And I would now worry, yeah, that attacking, or in the attacking areas, they're stacking themselves up, that they might want to play a more attacking formation. But I think that system they've got just now really
need to be strong. Works for them.
It's dipped sometimes, like that defeat against Wraith. If you saw that at the start of the season, you'd be wondering what's going on. But I think that was a strong Wraith team. Mm-hmm. So what McPake needs is to not bottle big games and just to stick to a formation and stick to a system that is working for them when it can. And you're hoping that he's not been too rash in pulling the trigger on some signings.
It would be tempting to shoehorn him in.
From what we've heard, Cummins has been offered to basically everyone because he's wanting back up the road and they're wanting him to play and score. And you're hoping McPake's not going to, we'll pull the trigger and we'll get him because, you know, he's got goals in him and we'll just make everyone else happen around him. We hope that it's going to work out. So if they can stick to the right formation, the right system that works for them, I think, yeah, bedding players in will be fine. But similar to Inverness tonight, Wednesday night, I think this is a banana skin for them again. It's a Queen and South team that are in good form. They've shown what they can do to the bigger teams. I think for me, it's a Queen and South win based on the form Queen and South are in. And just this gap that Dundee are on before this game, when they had played, it was not a great win against Bonnyrigg Rose, draw against Arbroath, lost to Wraith, however many games off, 20 odd games off. I think it's going to be a rough ride for them, and I think Queen of the South have got that, got the big mole pushing them on. So yeah, momentum Queen of the South for me.
Fair play. That's the first one that we've varied on. So the last game is Dunfermline hosting Alloa. Dunfermline won winning the last five, 11 points with Wraith, haven't played a game more. They'll be very disappointed, I think, to lose to Arbroath last time out because they went into that one, Muzz, on the back of a 4-1 win against Wraith. So they went into that flying, and then that was a disappointing result at Arbroath, wasn't it?
Yeah, it just cancelled out that win against Wraith, really. Cancelled out the momentum that they tried to gain on Wraith, because that brought them levelling points, and then they had the chance to leapfrog Wraith, but they didn't take it. That win against Wraith has come slap bang in the middle of some really dodgy form where they've, outside of that game, they'd only, I think they'd gone four games without scoring, you know, with that game in the middle of those four games.
Yeah.
So it went right against their form, that result. So I think they will get back to winning ways against Alloa, but it's gonna take that win and a wee bit more to really prove that Dunfermline are back where they were before this dip in form that they took. Mm-hmm. They were flying and looked really attacking.
Aye, they looked like they were going to push Hearts all the way.
Something akin to Wraith, where they had goals from wide with Thomas and Dow, and they had obviously threat up top with McManus and O'Hara kind of just off. So Turner making those third man runs, which he's so good at, and popping up in the box and things. So they had danger from all areas of the pitch, but they just went a bit blunt. So they'll be looking to this game against Alloa. Right, let's we've had a wee break. Let's get going again.
I actually took a note of. Right, so see, they're starting 11 in that game they lost against Arbroath. There was no Dow, there was no Whitaker, there was no Thomas. They actually played. Like the midfield four was Murray, Wilson, Mayo, McEnroy, which is missing kind of the key ingredients like you just mentioned there, goals from wide, Turner's third man runs, albeit Turner was on the bench, which I thought was a strange one given the other players they were missing. I thought he might have went in there and played, but and I saw that Dom Thomas is back in training this week, so he'll be back in. Although Alloa will be buoyed by getting a late equaliser at Arbroath, I can't see them having enough, especially with Ray Grant missing. I think he's an important cog and how they want to play. And I don't know, does Skugo maybe go in there or Robertson? I'm not sure how Alloa kind of compensate for him missing. Maybe Trouton goes deeper. although that then takes away from him in the final third. So I to cut a long story short, I'm going Dunfermline win. Are you going Dunfermline win? Did you say that?
Yeah, I'm going Dunfermline win, and the same reasons as you. Don't think Haller are going to have enough. I think Grant will be a miss. Might put Ennis Murray in there. But anyone they put in there is just, it's not going to be this. It's this the same kind of player as Grant, who, like you say, lends himself so much to how they play. Hopefully, they find it a focal point in Ennis Cameron, though, and they can start to rely on him as much as Arbroath are seeing the benefits of the Jack Hamilton signing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're quite similar players.
You wonder if Ray Grant's in the bubble with Peter Grant, James. He'll be hoping not after taking that red last weekend. How do you see this one going?
The Battle of the Athletics, I think, is going to be one of the more tour games of the week. I think Dunfermline will see it out just for the fact that Alloa just aren't as good. I think Alloa don't need to be targeting teams like Dunfermline to try and beat. I think they need to go out and try and play some football. But for me, I think in order to progress up the table, obviously you need to score some goals in order to win some games. In order to score some goals, you don't need to be coming up a defence as miserly as Dunfermline's. I think that's going to be the biggest problem for them, is Cameron, I think, is going to come in and do a bit of business for them, but not against necessarily a team like Dunfermline that we know aren't particularly open at the back. So I think Dunfermline are struggling scoring-wise currently, but I think half their squad at least contributed a goal once. So they're quite spread out goal-wise. You talk about Thomas coming back. I think McManus needs to start scoring again with sort of increased regularity if they're going to climb up the table. He has popped in a few goals, but they need to decide, right, are we going to rely on McManus? And if we are, we're going to get him the ball and he's going to score us some goals, because one win in five for the team in third isn't really going to be enough. Especially when you've played two games more than Dundee, who are hot on their trails. Queen of the South, they've played a game less than, but I wouldn't say they're overly massive title challengers. So they need to work out where they want to be at the end of the season. And I think, same as you touched on with Morton, defensively, we're not going to go down the table because we're not going to lose massive goals. Probably not going to lose many games. It'll probably be wins and draws from here on out. But, you know, we need to make sure we are winning. So we need to start scoring goals. So for me, Dunfermline will score and will beat Alloa, who I think will struggle in this game.
Okay. That's a long way of saying that, but thanks for that prediction. So that rounds up the predictions for this week. I've gone for four home wins and one away win. Muzz has gone for a draw, the only draw of the day at Somerset. Hopefully it's not a 0-0, Muzz, for you to observe when you're there. And James, the only one you've strayed away from is a Queen of South one away at Dens, so we shall see how that goes. As always, any thoughts, feedback or abuse from us for calling Greenock Morton Greenock, get in touch in the comments below on YouTube after you've liked the video and subscribed to the channel. You can check us out on Twitter at Turnstiles There. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well. New content every Thursday, 12 p.m. This week, if you're interested, we take a more of an in-depth look at the stats behind League One and League Two so far, how teams play, etc. And that's something that we can replicate for the Championship if anybody's interested. And like I say, I really urge you, if you haven't already, to go and check out that Stuart Brown interview. You'll take, not really an interview, discussion. You'll definitely take something out of that. So thanks very much for joining. We'll be back next week to celebrate getting 5 out of 5 in our predictions. And we'll see you then. Have a good week. Cheers. Bye.
See you.
Ciao.